Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
To QLJNRadio.com. This is the ambassador, pastor, and teacher, Eric Robinson. You have tuned in to The Final Authority. The Final Authority, we air live every Monday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Every Monday, live. All right, unless otherwise indicated. So I would like for you to make sure you pass the word out. You do social media, you do email, whatever you do, text messages. Let them know that The Final Authority airs live every Monday. Again, it's every Monday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. What we're going to do, we're going to continue on in, we're going to close out today. I decided to go a little more deeper today in dealing with the topic, which church belongs to Christ? Which church belongs to Christ? So we're going to pick back up on where we left off on last week and then proceed from there. We'll do a review. But before we go ahead on and give you the number to call in case you have a question or you have a comic or a comment or a different view that you'd like to express, we'll give you the number in just a moment. So we're going to go ahead and pray first and get right into it. Holy Father, we come before you in the holy majestic name of our beloved Son, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua, who is your unique Son, Father. We come, Father, washed in his blood, redeemed by his blood, clothed in his righteousness, with faith in our heart that's rested upon the authority of your word. We look to you as the almighty living true God, our Father, soul, provider, and giver of life. And Father, we thank you for your word. We ask, O God, your word would increase and abound and multiply in us, through us, to and for the glorification and the exaltation and the furtherance of the name of our beloved Son, Jesus the Christ. We ask, O God, your word, Father, would dwell in our hearts richly in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Your word is your final authority to us. We embrace your word. We hold fast to your word, Father. We ask, O God, that we have the wisdom to rightly divide the word of truth, that we appropriate and apply the proper rules of biblical interpretation of each text. And we ask, O God, that the believers are blessed. Those that tuned in, Father, are hearing the word of God and hearing from you through the authority and ministry of your word. We thank you, we praise and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to give you the number now. In case you have a question or you want to make a comment or maybe you want to express a different view than what we are sharing on what we're presenting today, the phone lines will be open for that, and the number to call is area code 515-605-9768. Again, the number to call is area code 515-605-9768. And once you are connected, then at any point in time, press the number 1 on your phone. That will connect you to my producer. My producer then will connect you to my live show to ask your question, make your comment, or express a different view. Okay. Also, I want to mention in the outset of the message, we may mention again later, a couple of people that did ask me about donating to the radio broadcast. You can do that to this radio podcast here. What you do, if you go in and you go to QLJNRadio.com, you scroll down and have a donation box. What you do, you just put your name there and put also that you want to donate to Final Authority. Mention that specifically. I want to donate to Final Authority. All right? and that will help pay for whatever we pay for on the monthly basis. All right, that's not for my pocket for me to go spend something else on it. No, not at all, period. Okay, we believe in being honorable and handling our monies according to the word of God and to the glory of Christ and for the purpose for which the monies was given. So thank you for your support. Okay, so now let's move on. Now, which church belongs to Christ? Now, which church belongs to Christ? Immediately, people think, okay, there's a lot of churches, and there's different churches that have different views about different passages, and that's true. Some people say, well, I go to a Baptist church. Some say, well, I go to a Pentecostal church. I go to a Charismatic Word of Faith church. I go to a Presbyterian church. I go to a Lutheran church. I go to a Evangelical church. I go to a Fundamental church. I go to a non-denominational church. You know, I go to a Roman Catholic church, and so on and so on. It goes on to naming various different what we call denominational or non-denominational churches. And so you have these views about, well, okay, well, which is the right church? Well, what does that mean? Which means what is a right church? Well, first of all, we did go over the fact that from a biblical perspective, based upon the authority of the Word of God, not my personal opinion, not anything I made up, to be resorting to the Word of God as God's final authority to us, that the church is called the body of Christ. We shared with you already in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, very clearly that Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. Christ is the head, not your pastor, not the bishop. I'm a pastor, but I'm not the head of the church. Not the evangelist, not a pope, not a cardinal, not a prophet. Christ is the absolute one and only head of the church. And Christ only has one church. He doesn't have two, three, four, or more. One church. Now, he said himself, as recorded in Matthew chapter 16, I will build my church. Now, most folks think of a church as a building, some form of religious institution. Well, the Bible doesn't speak of church in terms of a religious institution, and nor does it speak of church as a building, if you would. The church itself is not a physical building built by the hands of man that can be torn down by the hands of man, as it were. The church is a living organism. It is the body of Christ in the earth. Now, we're going to go over some passages to try to make this more clear, because we already did go over a number of passages, of which I will repeat some things that I already covered. But the church is not a building. The church actually is a called out body or assembly of believers. The word church comes from a Greek word ekklesia. It's two words, ek and then klesia. Ek, out of. Crazy, called out of. It is the calling of God on your life out of darkness into the glorious light of Christ. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go back over one very clear passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But the federal government is not the head of the church, neither the state. Christ is the head of the church. The church belongs to him. And according to actually the Apostles chapter 20, the Bible says that he purchased the church with his own blood. So Christ purchased a body of believers with his own blood. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let me go there real quickly. I'll get back to that. Sometimes I rush and I get ahead of myself, but let me kind of take my time, because this is a very crucial subject matter. You know, when you deal with which church belonged to Christ, well, Christ never established a denomination at all. And now, again, I made it very clear, I am not attacking, downgrading, or watering down any particular denomination. That's not the purpose of this program, and that's not what I do. The main thing is knowing what is the church that belongs to Christ, the one that he purchased. He didn't purchase a building with his own blood. He didn't purchase a denomination with his own blood. All right? Denomination started as a result of maybe differences that different leaders within a church body may have had, and they put emphasis on certain things. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a denomination, but if a denomination is preventing you from fellowshipping with another person who has come to faith in Christ, that's an issue right there. That would be a little, that would be called division. So there are some people who go to, let's say, like a Baptist church who won't go to a Pentecostal church. There's folks who may go to a Church of God in Christ church who may not go to a Lutheran church or evangelical church. It's different. All right, with different people. And so in terms of denomination, and the church, the body of Christ, of which Christ is the head, is not to be divided like that. And so if you have come to hear the true gospel message of Christ, the biblical Messiah, and you have come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God of your need of Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, and you come to faith and trust in Christ, you are placed by the Spirit in the church, the body of Christ. We're not talking about a denomination. We're not talking about a building. You can be somewhere in a desert, all right, hear the gospel, and come under conviction of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not limited to a particular church building or a denomination. The Holy Spirit is not limited to time and space and matter. He's outside that, he's greater than that, and yet he moves in that. And so when a person hears the message of the gospel of Christ, and they come under the convicting power of the Spirit of God to place faith in Christ, and they come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Holy Spirit is the one that seals them and places them in the church, the body of Christ. This is the spiritual body of Christ. When Christ comes back, he's not coming back for a building. He's not coming back for a denomination. He's coming back for a people who've been washed in his blood, redeemed by his blood, sealed with the Spirit, wrapped in his righteousness. That's who he's coming back. That's the church. It is a body of believers who have accepted the call of God to come to true biblical repentance and a genuine, authentic faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll read verse 1 and 2. Paul says, it's a letter of Paul writing to the believers in Corinth. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. I love this verse. Paul says the church of God, it is a called out assembly of people. That's the church. It's the church of God. It is the assembly of God. Now, there were several assemblies in Corinth, but the one that Paul's talking about, well, Paul had preached to the people in Corinth the message of the cross of Christ. And they came to faith and trust in Christ. And those who came to faith in Christ, they came under the teachings of the apostle Paul. And they were called the church of God, the assembly that was of God. There's assemblies that are not of God. There are churches that's not of God. But we're talking about the church of God, watch this, which is at Corinth. So he's specifically addressing a letter to those who are in Corinth. Now watch what he says, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. So if you have come to faith in Christ, you have been sanctified, set apart in Christ. So as a result of your coming into a vital union with Jesus Christ, you are a saint. So it says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. Saints are those who've been sanctified. All right? Yeah, sanctified in Christ. See, you're not sanctified just because you came to church. Or just because you got water baptized, or because you joined a local church, no matter what local church it may have been, denominational or non-denominational, charismatic or non-charismatic. fundamental or non-fundamental, it doesn't make any difference. You need to come into a true, genuine, authentic relationship with the resurrected, ascended Lord, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, God's unique Son. He is alive right now in the heavens, and he wants a relationship with you. But nevertheless, let's go on and read. It says here, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. So anyone, no matter what place geographically you may live, Paul is telling those, there are others that are not at the church of Corinth that might be in another geographical area who have called upon the name of the Lord. They are a part of the church of God because they are a saint in Christ, sanctified in Christ Jesus. See, so my thing is to really focus upon what Christ has done, and that when I say has done, dealing with his death for our sins, that all our sins was placed upon him, and Christ suffered the wrath and judgment of God for our sins and died for our sins and shed all of his blood for the forgiveness of your sins and to redeem you to the Father God. He was taken down from that rugged cross and was buried in the tomb by the hands of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. 3 days later, Jesus Christ rises from among the dead bodily. And for a period of 40 days, he had given clear, undeniable, demonstrable evidences of his resurrection for a period of 40 days to over a number, hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of people who were contemporary witnesses of the fact that he had risen from among the dead, because it was a known fact that he had died on a cross. And after he had given the demonstrable evidences of his resurrection, he then ascends back up into the heavens. The Father raised him back up into the heavens, highly exalted, glorified, and now seated at the right hand of his Father in the heavens in a resurrected, glorified body right now. He is just as much as alive right now as he was when he was on the earth. He's just in heaven in a body right now. Now, okay, so anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, no matter where you are, you become a part of the church of God. Now, you can go to a local assembly of believers in any geographical area, and it might be a denominational church. It might be a charismatic church. There's maybe some differences, but if, in fact, they are centered on sound teaching, wholesome teachings, and centered on the glory of Christ and proclaiming the true gospel, that's a place to fellowship at. There's no church that's perfect and don't have any issues at some point in time, because people are there. You're going to have issues with people. Even when you read the book of Revelation, Christ had John write to the seven churches which were in Asia. There's seven different geographical assemblies in different areas. He wrote to those seven churches, all right? So, in other words, it says seven churches. We're dealing with different assemblies in different areas. For an example, I have a ministry called the Word of God Christian Center. We gather in Vallejo. And there's other churches that are there, other body of believers that go to other local assemblies and gather together. All right? There's others that gather in other cities. So, whatever city you are, if you have come to faith and trust in Christ, you have been sanctified by the Spirit in Christ Jesus, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are in the church of God. And I think it's very vital to your spiritual growth and development that you have good fellowship and prayers with fellow believers that's in the faith. Okay? So, there's not one church that's they're the only ones right. When anyone claiming to be the only ones right, that's a problem right there. That's pride. There's no one church that's the only one, right? So now, Christ has one church, but there are several different assemblies in different locations where body of believers assemble in different areas, okay? Now, I asked the question, which church belongs to Christ, to just to stir your thinking up. Which church? the only church that belonged to Christ is the one that he purchased with his own blood, and that is those who have come to faith and trust in him as Lord and Savior. Let me read something to you of the book of Ephesians chapter 1, okay? And I'll just, Ephesians 2, well, you know, I think I'll start at verse 1. Okay, so it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints. He's writing to saints, those who have been sanctified. We know those who are sanctified are in Christ Jesus, called saints, which are at Ephesus. So he writes to the ones in Ephesus. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Wow, it's a blessing. According as he, God, has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he, God, has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through what? His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. All right? Now, when you're going down further, it talks about Christ. And it tells you how God raised Christ from the dead in verse 20, and said Christ at his own right hand, in the heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in that which is to come, and has put all things under his Christ's feet, and gave him Christ to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So, we see the church is the body of Christ. It's the church that God has blessed with all spiritual blessings. It's the church that God has chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world that is holy and without blame before him. It is the church that God has made accepted in the beloved. That you're blessed. We have redemption through his blood. The church, we're redeemed. It is a body of believers who've been redeemed by the blood of Christ and forgiven of sins. That's the church. I'm not redeemed or forgiven just because I went to a local church. If I went to a Lutheran or a Baptist or a Church of God in Christ or a Methodist church or a Presbyterian church or an Episcopalian church or a Roman Catholic church or whatever church you name, all right, I am redeemed because of what Christ done for me on the cross. I'm forgiven because Christ shed his blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. I openly confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I'm saved by God's grace through faith in Christ. So is those who are in Christ. Those are saints. Saints, they make up the church, the body of Christ. Okay? So what I want to do real quickly, I want to read a couple of verses to you. I want to read something out of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. Verse 28, Paul tells the elders, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The flock, we're the assembly of people have come together over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To what? Feed the church of God, which he, Christ, has purchased with his own blood. So we see very clearly that the church has been purchased by the blood of Christ. We're talking about the church, the body of Christ. So we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the church. Okay? So now let me go on. I'm going to read something in Romans chapter 1, a couple of verses. I'm going to go on Romans and Corinthians and Galatians. So in Romans chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, notice he says called saints. So he's writing to who? The saints. Okay? So then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We read that one already a little earlier. But verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our beloved brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. So we see that, okay? So let's go to Galatians chapter 1, and then we'll read 1 through 4. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Wow. Amen. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the verse 5. Well, notice this. Unto the church of the Galatia, he did with the various different assemblies that gathered in Galatia. All right? So he's writing to the church. All right? Now, in we already read in verse Ephesians chapter 1, those verses up there. Philippians, I'll read Philippians, in book of Philippians, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Wow. So he's writing to the saints. The saints, again, composed, when saints come together, that is the church, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. All right? Then we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, thank you, Jesus. So we see here again, writing to the saints. And let me take you real quickly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we'll read only verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here, again, they're writing unto the church, which consists of the saints, and the saints make up the body, all right, sanctified in Christ Jesus. So which church do belong to Christ? Well, the one that he purchased with his own blood. Those who have come to faith and trust in him. Now, let me share something with you. Out of the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to quote verse 12 and 13. Okay, you can write that down, but Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us fit, suitable, or qualified. King James says, you know, fit there. It doesn't say fit, but it says made us meet, M-E-E-T, which means fit, suitable, qualified, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we see here that God delivered us from the power of blood and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So when you heard the message of the gospel and you placed faith in Christ, you were delivered from the power or the authority of darkness. You have been transferred into the kingdom of Christ. You are now in the kingdom of Christ. Okay, now, well, it's worded a little differently in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we went over this particular verse already, verse 13. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. Okay? Now, I'm going to keep talking because we're going to a break, but I want to explore the continuity of what I'm sharing with you. For by one spirit. So we're dealing with the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, for by one spirit are we all baptized. So in this particular chapter, he refers to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the workings of the Holy Spirit. And here it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. All right? The one body refers to the church, the body of Christ. All right? Baptized means to submerge, to immerse, or to place into. So, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, so it's no difference between Jew and Gentile in God's eyes. When you come to faith in Christ, it's the one Spirit that placed us in the one body, and we are all one in Christ Jesus. There should be no division between us because of the color of our skin. This is the church of Jesus Christ. It does consist of people of different ethnic backgrounds, different cultures, different upbringing. But when you hear the true message of the gospel of Christ, in Christ, there is no distinction between a white man, a black man, a red man, a yellow man, a brown man, or whatever other color that people may be. We're all one in Christ Jesus. There should be no division because in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. And we add white or black because it isn't. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Why? I have the same Spirit. I have the same Lord. And if you have the same Spirit and the same Lord, no matter where you are, I should be able to fellowship with you in Christ because you are in the church, the body of Christ, sanctified as a saint in Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. There's the music. We'll pick back up on where we are and go from there. Stay tuned into the final authority. I will see you after the break.
Rain down.
listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
All right, well, thank you for staying tuned in to the final authority. That song was called Melodies, and the artist is Kirk Franklin. All right, back to the word. Dealing with 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. It's a work of the spirit. This is a spiritual baptism where you're totally, completely immersed in the church, the body of Christ, of which Christ is the head. Whether we are Jews or Gentiles, it doesn't make any distinction that whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, whether you are black or white, or whether you are female or male, you come to true, genuine faith in the gospel message of Christ. The Spirit sees your faith in the biblical Messiah, and he's the one that totally immerses you, King James says, baptized into the one body. You now are a saint in Christ, sanctified in Christ Jesus. You now are part of the spiritual church, the body of Christ. And this says, the latter part of verse 13 says, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. See, you now have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit dwells you. Now, another thing I want to kind of break down that people say, you know, the house of God dealing with the church building. Where are you going? I'm going to church. I'm going to the house of the Lord. Well, from a biblical perspective, in the New Testament time, we see very clearly that the church is not a building at all, period. God does not dwell in temples made with hands, as it were. All right? That really isn't the church. The New Testament scriptures never speaks of the church as a building, but as people, as a body of people who assemble themselves together due to their faith in Christ, coming for teaching and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. That's the church. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, when they have so much time left, Ephesians chapter 2, I'll go and I'll read, I'll read verse 14. For he, Christ, is our peace, all right, who has made both one, made Jew and Gentile both one. There was a division, a dividing wall of law between Jew and Gentile, but now they are one. There's no distinction in God's eyes between a Jew and a Gentile. We're all one. All right, verse 16, that he, God, might reconcile both Jew and Gentile in one body. So we're in one body by what? The cross, by the message of the cross, by what Christ has done for us on the cross. There's now one body, having slain the enmity thereby. See, prior to what Christ done on the cross, the law divided Jew and Gentile. But when Christ came, all our sins were placed upon him. He certified the judgment of God. And now that ultimate law is obsolete and has been abolished, all right, Christ now has broken down the middle wall of partition, the wall that separated Jew and Gentile, that law, and now made one new man that's in Christ Jesus, and that's the church, the body of Christ. He has made, reconciled, verse 16, Ephesians 2:16, and that he, God, might reconcile both Jew and Gentile in what? One body, by the cross. Having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and them that were not. For through him, through Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one spirit unto the Father. Now listen to verse 19. Now therefore you Gentiles who were away and far off, you are no more strangers and no more a foreigner, but you are fellow citizens with who? The saints. And of what? The household of God. The saints, when they come against the household of God, that's where God dwells. Watch this. He says, fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And then verse 20 of Ephesians 2, he says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, that's the building of people coming there, you're referred to as a building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. See, so we as saints, we who have come to faith and trust in Christ, we who have been sealed with the Spirit, have drunken in the Holy Spirit, we who've been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ are saints in Christ Jesus, sanctified. We are a spiritual building, and you are the holy temple in the Lord. We are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So God dwells in you. It's not a building he dwells in. So I don't necessarily really go to church. I go to a building where the church gathers together in fellowship. That's what we do. All right? Let me take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. All right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, again, Paul writing to the body of believers in Corinth. And so he says, I'll start at verse 16 because of time. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So we see here that the temple of the living God is the church, the body of Christ, that God dwells in us. So we together are built together for an habitation of God by the Spirit. And he says that you are the temple of the living God. You are. So he's telling with the body of believers in Corinth, the church as a whole. God dwells in us, people. It's not like, so when the body of believers, the saints who are in Christ Jesus, when we leave a building that we call church, that we're not the church, you are the church that's leaving the building. Now, we call it a church building, so I call it ministry home. We leave that building, the church just left the building. I don't leave the church. I left the church building. But I do understand what people mean. I hope I understand what they mean when they say, you know, I'm going to church. Okay, going to church. All right, I'm leaving church. All right, well, okay, well, we see here, based on the word, that you are the temple of the living God. All right, and also let me read another passage. Let me go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 for you. Paul writing to those who are sanctified. He's writing to the church, the body of Christ. And he uses another terminology. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, what? Know you not? Do you not understand that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God? And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Remember, we read that in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. That Christ purchased the church with his own blood, take heed to the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the flock of God which is among you. All right? He says, which he has purchased with his own blood. Wow. Right here, he says, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. So, you are the temple. The building is not the temple. You are. So the church, the body of Christ, is the temple of the living God. That's the word. So the word is the final authority. Now, you can come to true genuine faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And you can join a local body of believers that might be a denominational. Okay, that could be okay. It might be a non-denominational. There are some people who will not even go to any other local body but a word of faith. Some may have to go to a charismatic. Some have to go to a Church of God in Christ only. Well, why do you have to specifically go to a particular belief? Now, they may have differences in some of the things they emphasize, and they may have some doctrinal differences in some areas. That's okay. The main thing is that you're walking in the light of Jesus Christ, and that you're centered on Christ, who he is, and what he has done for you on the cross of Calvary. We're not going to come in agreement with everything, okay? There's going to be some differences, you know? And but the thing is, can you, long as you don't deny the essential doctrines of the Christian faith, the essential doctrines upon which the Church of Jesus Christ is built upon, and you hold fast to the fact that Jesus Christ is God manifested in human flesh, you hold to the fact that Jesus Christ is the sinless, unique Son of God, you hold fast to the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins, shed his blood for you, was buried, rose again from among the dead, that you are truly saved by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus, you hold to the fact that Christ ascended up to the heaven. All right, those are very essential doctrinal truths that we hold to. We hold to that the Bible is God's final authoritative word. All right? These are doctrines that we hold fast to. We look forward to the blessed appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We look forward to the coming of Christ again. These things that we look to. All right? Now, we may differ on whether or not you have to go through a certain class. Okay, yeah, a class, you have to be part of a church. You have to go through a certain ritual to be say, well, my salvation is solely and exclusively contingent upon what Christ has done for me on the cross. We may differ on whether the gifts of the Spirit still manifest today or if healing is in the atonement or not, if you pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I don't want to get into all of that. Whether you believe in the millennium or if you are a dispensationalist or if you're a partial preterist or a full preterist, you know, those different things we differ on, okay? I'm not going to fight that. If you have come to true, genuine faith in Jesus Christ, and you've been baptized by the Spirit in the body of Christ, and you have taken in the Holy Spirit, you are my brother or my sister, and you might belong to a denominational church or maybe a non-denominational church, if you allow me to say it that way. That I still can have fellowship with you no matter what assembly you may fellowship at, as long as you truly are walking in the light of Christ. The Bible says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. So if I'm walking in the light of Christ, and I have the blood of Christ cleansing me, and you walking in the light of Christ, and his blood is cleansing you, I should be able to have fellowship with the Father, have fellowship with the Son, have fellowship with you as a fellow brother or sister in Christ Jesus. So I accept that. So people try to, what happens is they exalt, you don't want to be one of those that exalt your denomination. I had a lady tell me one time, I bet my preacher can preach better than your preacher. Well, first of all, they that compare themselves with themselves among themselves are not wise. Preaching is not for competition. It's for the proclamation of the message of Christ, and is for a message to bring unity to the church, the body of Christ. It's not about who's the most eloquent or who's the most articulate or who's the most educated, all right, or who's the most influential or who's the most popular or whatever. It's about fulfilling what God called you to do, being faithful to the text of Scripture. All right, this is what we should be doing. So I don't divide. I tell the believers that are under my oversight in my ministry home that I pastor and I shepherd, that I feed the word of God, if you go fellowship with other ministries, glorify Christ. Don't get into any arguments about, you know, non-essential issues, you know, well, how was you baptized? You know, was it in the name of Jesus? Was it in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit? People fight over that so bad, they won't even fellowship with each other because they fight over that. Well, you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Oh, you should have been baptized in the name of Jesus. Well, okay, I don't want to argue the point. That's not the purpose of the message. But people, they really get caught, and that's causing division. And unfortunately, some pastors have promoted that type of ideology among their congregation, and the congregation become the vices among other believers that be true believers in Christ Jesus. That's why I can appreciate what Paul says when he wrote to the believers in Corinth. He said, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. There's people that may not ever come to the ministry where I shepherd at, the Will of God Christian Center. But they are just a part, and they call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever they are. Man, they are part of the church. They are saints sanctified in Christ Jesus. And I can pray with them, and I can glorify Christ. All right? So we don't want to get caught into denominations and peripheral doctrinal views, non-essentials. Now, if you deny that Jesus Christ is the uniquely begotten Son of God, God in human flesh, if you deny the sufficiency of the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, you deny the historicity of the actual bodily resurrection of Christ from among the dead, all right, I have a problem with that. All right, you're denying essential doctrine. The whole, if you would, the faith of the saints, the church, is solely rested upon the fact that Christ literally rose from among the dead. That is an essential doctrine that cannot be denied. You deny the historicity of the actual resurrection of Christ from among the dead, then you are not a biblical saint. All right? Paul lets us know that the gospel that he preached was not after man, neither was he taught it by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he preached that Christ died for our sin, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Okay? So your faith must be in these essential doctrines. Teachings rest upon authority of scripture. Now, Paul also talks about in 1 Timothy, he wrote to Timothy, and he tells Timothy, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So we see here that the church is called the house of God. Okay? It's the church of the living God. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. So in the context, Paul had just dealt with Timothy about the qualifications of bishops, those who want to be bishops or elders, there's qualifications. And so there should be honorable men in positions of leadership, holding the office of a bishop, which is the same thing as an elder. Pastor is used interchangeably in scripture. There, biblically speaking, there's no distinction between an elder and the bishop. It's one and the same. Churches have made a distinction, but when you examine the scriptures in regard to elder and bishop is one and the same, actually. You know, pastors, elders, bishops is really one and the same. So when you really look into it. Now, but anyway, I don't want to labor that right now. I've done that before already. But anyway, the church, all right, it has these leaders, bishops and elders, bishops who are elders, deacons. They have to meet certain qualifications. They must be sound in the faith, bold in the faith, being able to teach the word of God to others. All right? So you go to a ministry, you ought to be able to have good, sound, godly counsel in the word of God from bishops and elders. Now, unfortunately, we have people who have experienced church hurt. We all have in some kind of way. Church hurt. Don't leave the body. Fellowship with the body. Go get counsel from the leadership. You know, and so there's different things that happen. You know, now if the leadership is totally, completely out of line and doing some things that is just totally, blatantly against the word of God, yeah, you need to leave. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. Okay, they're exalting false doctrine, heretical teaching, trying to make merchandise of you and all that. But get away from that. But there are other assemblies that might be a denominational church that really got biblical order in their ministry. So don't limit yourself from going to a local body because it's a denomination. We're not putting denomination down at all. But Christ is not the head of a denomination. He's the head of the church, which is his body, which consists of those that have come to faith in him, whom the Spirit placed in Christ and sanctified them who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by the blood of Christ, sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's the church, the body of Christ. So you're the habitation of God by the Spirit. Okay? We only got so many minutes left, but before I close out, let me mention this again. If you ever have any questions or comments, you can call area code 515-605-9768. And once you dial that number, you press the number one on your phone. That'll connect you to my producer. My producer then will connect you to the live show, The Final Authority. And also, again, if you have a desire to give and support The Final Authority with some degree of financial contribution of your choice, we don't beg money. We don't even pressure nobody or manipulate. If you choose to give, then you can go through QLJNradio.com, go to the donation box, and then whatever you donate of your choice, make sure you put, you know, donation from, and then make sure you put to or for The Final Authority. Okay, make sure you put that down there, and don't forget to put the amount, whatever you put down on there, okay? Also, I want to mention that the ministry where we shepherd, that where we feed the people of God, is called the Will of God Christian Center in Vallejo, California. The Will of God Christian Center, 419 Georgia Street, suite number 12. Service on Sunday, 11:30 a.m. On Tuesday evenings, we have prayer 6 p.m. to 6:30. And then 6:30 to 7:45, we have the Ministry of the Word, where you're taught sound doctrine, and we minister the glory of Christ. On Wednesdays, we have the Special Forces Intercessory Team there on Wednesdays, and that's from 6 to 7, okay? All right. Oh, wow. Time is up. Well, we'll see you next week on The Final Thought. Remember, the church that belongs to Christ is the church that he purchased with his own blood, redeemed by the blood of Christ, robed in the righteousness of Christ. That is the church. See you next week, The Final Authority. God bless.
Listening to the hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.